and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
On this steamy summer night, night after the 4th of July. And Big Root, for our listeners, just to jump into the topic. There's a lot that's been going on in the news the last couple of days. Supreme Court, I guess, is out of session, and they went out with a bang. Not nearly a good bang, but a bang. And one of the topics they covered in their last day was, or last days, was about affirmative action. And it's a very misunderstood term, so I figured we could jump in and discuss it with our listeners. And the title for today's episode is Affirmative Distraction, right? Because I think affirmative action and the whole concept of race and institutional racism is distracting, right? It takes away from, well, the word affirmative action takes away from what really is the root causes of inequity in America, right? So again, affirmative distraction. The Supreme Court basically said that colleges, public or private, it's not about public, either way, colleges can no longer use race as a criteria of admitting a student. What are your thoughts on it? And what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I believe that affirmative action, the way that it's been used in the last, say, 20, 30 years, is basically to bring diversity to a situation. And if there's two people that are equal, but one, percent of the population wasn't fully represented, it's to try to make it a more diverse school academic arena. So you would try to put the people in to give as much diversity as you could, as opposed to just going by numbers or just the status quo that normally would be, attending the university.
Exactly. And that's a great synopsis. That's a great definition, because that's what it is. That's what it was, right? That was the goal of it. It was to level the playing field. It was to increase diversity. And in the Bakke case, which I forgot how far back that goes, I believe it's the late 70s, it was to basically correct a previous wrong. And I think that's the part that needs to be emphasized, right? You cannot have a level playing field if there's not a level playing field. So if you cheat in one direction too long, it doesn't say, all right, cheating is done, right? That doesn't level the playing field. And that's kind of the notion always is, that America is a colorblind society. Everyone is treated the same, when there's so much data and statistical evidence that that's not even close to being true. There's not even an honest debate about that, right? That's when, if you look at the criminal justice system, if you look at the net worth breakdown based on race, right? There's so much evidence that hard work and effort are not merits in the society. Merits in the society are based on race and the access to opportunities and resources. And yet, anytime they want to level the playing field, when I say them, saying the system, they pretend that racism doesn't exist. And that's basically what the Supreme Court said, that racism doesn't exist. In the sense, let me rephrase that, because they were talking about in admitting students into higher education. So they weren't talking about racism in every aspect of society. That's not fair. But yeah, like you said, the point was to have a diverse pool of students.
Yeah, because you don't just want to have, one segment of the population represented. You want to have a diverse, alumni, or not say alumni, but a student body. So you can have different opinions. If people come from different backgrounds, it's going to create a better learning environment and be more conducive to how it's going to be when you get into the workplace, hopefully, another diverse place, hopefully, that you'll be entering.
Exactly. And to your point, that was the goal. That was the implementation. Whether it was perfectly implemented or not could be reviewed, but I don't think it's the implementation that was really in question. It was the legitimacy of the idea, and that's what's kind of been yanked away. So just to kind of give our listeners some context to it, the legal remedies of people that were in favor of affirmative action, they've moved on to challenging legacy admissions, right? Which is basically a flip side of the same coin, right? Some people were getting in because their ancestors, their parents and grandparents got in. And affirmative action was literally to combat that, saying you're not getting in based on merit. You're getting in based on legacy, based on connections. And that limits the student body, as you said. So we're trying to fix that. So just this case following, the lawsuit following shows you the inequity that was initially in place, the attempted correction of it, and the need to recorrect the correction of it, right? Because again, if the playing field was level, then we would be having a different conversation. Why are you letting people in based on race when everyone has been treated the same?
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists are on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
So again, it's not that affirmative action came out of nowhere. It's because of this inequity that's already been in place for generations.
True. And again, when we talk about affirmative action, most people think of black and white. But it's also to make sure you have enough females, you know, applying and getting into the situation and other minorities. So it's just to make sure you have a diverse student body. And I also think what you did touch on, the other lawsuit that was brought, which is, yeah, they're now challenging legacy. Because if you're going to get rid of affirmative action, then you should get rid of legacy as well. So if it's just going to be on merit, then it should just be on merit alone, and there should be no, you know, in this case, no exceptions because your grandfather's name is on the wall.
Exactly. And you make a really good point there, right? Let's pretend with our listeners, let's go back in time, and let's say that had been challenged first. Let's say there was no affirmative action. Let's say the lawsuit was against legacy admissions, and that was abolished. That might have actually started the process of leveling the playing field because it would have been a bit more merit-based. Clearly, that's the oversimplification of it, but I think that is a good way to introduce it to people that are in favor of, that are against affirmative action. Because I really do think that there are people who feel that affirmative action is unfair to the dominant part of society, right? Because they don't have the opportunities, and I'm being sarcastic, because they do have the opportunities. That's why these things were put in place. But I think the point you made, yeah, let's say we attacked the power structure as it is, right? And said, okay, you're not fair. So instead of helping the people that you know have been treated unfairly, we're gonna take away your, I guess, advantage, right? Because let's just be honest. Going to Harvard because somebody else went to Harvard is a tremendous advantage. You're going to the top university in the country, theoretically, just because you know somebody, just because you're related to somebody. And there's no way to measure that kind of an advantage.
No, it's basically nepotism.
Exactly. And then to say that somehow affirmative action, which is trying to remedy that, is unfair, right? So we're cheating, and it's wrong for you to call us out on cheating.
Yeah, again, they want to have their cake and eat it too. We want to be allowed to have legacy, you know, admissions, but we don't want affirmative action. So we don't want a diverse student body. And then also, I think what people have to keep in mind is that it's kind of like when me and you went to junior high school. We were, quote unquote, bussed into a different school zone than where we were supposed to go. But I think in the long run, it helped us and it helped the people that we went to school with, because we were able to communicate and deal with people we normally would not have associated with, and them with us as well. And I think in the end, you got a well-rounded person than if they always stay to the status quo.
Well said. Well said and agreed. And that may, and again, for our listeners, today's episode is affirmative distraction. And listening to those words, listen to what Big Rube just said, because they do tie together in a possibly insidious way, right? Because we could say that we're being distracted, right? Affirmative distraction. We're being distracted from the real root problem, which is we're trying to make sure there isn't any equity, right? So we're going to find the mechanisms of equity, and we're going to challenge those mechanisms. Not equity. We're not going to say, oh, no, people shouldn't be equal, right? That was the old system. That was Jim Crow, where you knew you weren't supposed to be equal because we told you that, right? Now we're not necessarily doing that, but we're going to have the mechanisms of equality or equity, right? So like you said, we were bused to another district for the purposes of integration, right? Not for advancement, not that we went to a better school per se, but just that we would be part of a more diverse student body, right? That was the goal. And like you said, the benefits were intangible, right? You had different friends, you had different experiences just because you were in a different environment.
Yep, exactly. And I think that we came out better for it. And when I say better, just that you were more able to communicate and deal with different races because you were exposed to it, as opposed to just going to school with your own kind and maybe you wouldn't see them until college. So maybe by having an earlier interaction with different races, you were able to cultivate different ways of communicating and just learning about their cultures, and they learned about your culture. So I think it made us better people.
I can agree with that. And I think for me, the core is that it did what it was supposed to do, right? It was designed to integrate and to diversify the student body, and it did that. And like you said, all the benefits were because that was the point, right? So that's why I said, you know, I think affirmative distraction is taken away, right? Because a lot of people are against affirmative action, right, as the previous policy was, because they feel that it was unfair. They feel that affirmative action, by its definition and by its implementation, was the problem, right? So it's not the solution to the problem. It is the problem. And I think that goes back to us being distracted, because it you know, when something's put in place, one, you have to see, is there a need for it to be put in place? And then two, like you said, is it actually working? And use an example that you did with us being bused to a different middle school area. That was the purpose of it, right? Because students were basically staying in the schools immediately in their neighborhoods, and they were not integrating. They were not interacting. So the need was there. And then, like you said, over time, because we weren't the first, I can only imagine how hard it was for the very first. But over time, it got easier and it got more valuable, right? So it worked. And with affirmative action, there was truth to it, right? That if you go back 30, 40 years, the amount of minorities that were getting into certain institutions of higher education was much lower. So it started to diversify the student body, like you said. And basically, there was a need and it was working. And now suddenly there's this attempt or this mandate to break down what maybe is working. Or so I feel like it's a distraction, because I feel like the debate of whether or not it should be there isn't an accurate debate, right? It's not about giving some people unfair opportunity. It's about opening doors that have been long since locked.
Well, I agree. And I mean, you know, like I said, it's not just about black or white. It's about having diversity. And again, dealing with different types of people, learning how to deal with different circumstances. You know, but, you know, one of the ironic things about this whole decision is that we saw someone that actually benefited from affirmative action to be a proponent, to be against it, which totally is kind of mind blowing. It's like somebody that actually was, you know, brought to the water and was given something to drink, now wants to make sure no one else can get to the water, no one else can drink except for them. So it's kind of ironic.
It's very ironic. And several times you've stated that it's not about race. And I wonder how many people feel that way, because I do feel that affirmative action immediately starts with thoughts of race. I do think even the irony you mentioned, and for our listeners, you're talking about Justice Clarence Thomas, right, who checks every box that's wrong. not some. He makes sure if there's a wrong box, he checks it. He just makes sure that he's going to be consistently wrong in every area. That's a personal choice, listeners. That's our personal assessment. Not everyone needs to agree with that, but I think if you're an honest person, you'll agree he checks the wrong boxes, right? But I think affirmative action automatically draws people to race. And I think it draws people to this idea that we're giving minorities opportunities that they don't deserve. So when you said it's not about race and it's about diversifying, I wonder how many people believe that or feel that. Because maybe if they did, to your point, maybe they would look at it differently.
Tired of the same rap songs, every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Yeah, because I mean, the first thing is that it's not about giving somebody an opportunity that's not qualified. For the most part, the way that at least I believe that it's meant to be, and as far as I know, the way it has been implemented, if you had two candidates with the same score, but one happened to be a minority or a woman or, you know, somebody that wasn't part of the majority population, if the scores were equal, then that would go to their benefit to let them in, because you want to make a more diverse student body. It wasn't that they're getting in with lower scores and they're not really qualified to be there. We're just putting them in because of their color or their gender. That's, you know, I could see someone not taking kindly to that and saying that's not fair. But if we're both at the same level and there's five times as many people of this type of person that's there, we want to have some of the other types of people to be in so we can have a diverse atmosphere or student body So it's not about being unqualified and being accepted. I think people seem not to get that through their heads.
I think that's a good point. And I think that goes back to the point that there is a racial element to it, right? Not just race, like I said, any underrepresented class. But I also think it goes to what you just said. The point is, right, when you look around certain rooms, you look around certain campuses, right, and you see the dominant population being what it is, right, you understand that if you don't, at least the Supreme Court previously understood, if you don't introduce a remedy, you're not going to change it, right? It's the same thing with integration, right? There was segregation, there was separation of groups. And if we don't make efforts to integrate, there will be no integration. It was just no. Because remember, the segregation and separation was done by law, and it was done by institutional racist policies, right? It wasn't that people just naturally live where they wanted to live. No, people were controlled where they could live, right? They were shaped and pushed in certain areas. So in other words, there was a structure that was controlling and denying equity. And Supreme Court recognized we have to be equitable. We have to integrate students or they'll never be able to have the same opportunities. And affirmative action was doing the same thing on a higher level, saying that it's like you said, it's not that students aren't capable of succeeding. They're not given a chance to even enter. And that's what we're doing. We're making sure that the successful students have the opportunity to enter, which will diversify the the student body population.
Well said.
No, I'm saying the same thing you're saying. We're just stating fact, right? Because these are facts. I mean, again, if you look at, you take a classroom and if it's 30 students and if 26 of them look one way, right? Obviously, there's lots of reasons for that, but if every year you do nothing different, based on the numbers, nothing is going to change. So you're going to have to say, all right, we want 4 students from this neighborhood. We want 3 students from that area. We want these kind of students to diversify. You have to make a tangible effort to do it. It doesn't just happen. And so when you hear the term affirmative distraction, what do you think? That is just a catchy term that, you know, it's a title. But does it have larger overtones, or is it just, it just sounds good?
It sounds good. I mean, it may have other undertones that we're trying to bring to light, but it sounds good. It sounds catchy.
Okay. The reason why I guess I asked that question, and I hope our listeners are thinking about it as well, is that it does seem like there is a concerted effort to move things backwards, right? Whether it's equity or opportunity or diversity, it just seems that there's an effort. And I guess if you look at individual things, sometimes you say, oh, well, this has nothing to do with that and so on. But when you see that there is a limit of thought, right? We don't want to discuss critical race theory, right? Not the validity or invalidity of it, right? We just don't want to discuss it. And when we talk about the 1619 Project, the history of African Americans coming to this country, we just don't want to talk about it, right? And it seems like a concerted effort because, you know, it's one thing to say you're not going to talk about certain things in geometry class or chemistry, right? But why would you not talk about history in history class? Or why would you only talk about certain history in history class? And the answer does speak for itself. I'm pretty sure you and all of us understand that we're going to talk about the history that we want to talk about. And what happens to the other history?
Well, that's true. And what's funny is that I was watching when the Levees broke on HBO, on not to give them a shout out, but I'm be watching it. And obviously, this is back in 2005, this is 2023 now. And again, it's just kind of strange. I was watching it, and you had a class of people that was basically forced to move out of where they were living at because of the destruction from Hurricane Katrina. And they were being called refugees. And they're like, how are we refugees? We are American citizens. We live in this country. We pay taxes. And they're labeling us like we are from another country, you know, looking for some type of handout. And it's kind of funny that we have other people coming here from war-torn countries, and they're actually being treated better than our own citizens that were needing help from, you know, a natural disaster.
Well, I think that's why, for me, the term distraction has a deeper tone to it, right? Because sometimes we can laugh at the irony of I guess I'll just say it, systemic racism. But sometimes we have to be very terrified of it, right? Because we're not talking about a distant past that is not in memory, right? We're talking about recent events that are being just ignored and buried. And that is scary, right? Because I think a lot of us like to think we live in a fair society. We live in a area where, you know, you work hard, merit matters, right? But we know that there's a history of inequity. And we see efforts to erase that history, not to erase inequity, right? That's what we want. We want to erase inequity. We want everyone to be treated fairly. What we see happening is efforts to erase the efforts to get rid of inequity, which by definition means that inequity will remain, right? People will not have the same opportunities because we're saying people have the same opportunities.
Oh, that's true. You know, like you said, it's a distraction.
Exactly. And a scary one because, you know, I mean, where do we go from here? I guess, you know, that's a question for our listeners, but that's a very real question because, I mean, we literally see efforts to move the needle backwards, right? Progress going backwards. And, you know, I think even some of us who are very level-headed and like to look at the world for what it is have to say, okay, is there an effort to actually do things that shouldn't happen? And it's weird to say that because we're in 2023. We saw people try to take over the government 2 years ago. Like, we saw it, right? Again, I always have to remind myself and other people of that, right? That's real. That really happened. People really did storm the Capitol and try to take it over. Now, whatever their motivation and thought process was, that really happened, though. And that cannot be forgotten, that there were people that said, no, we don't agree with the election results, and we're just not going to let them get certified. And let's just take for a quick second, what if they were successful? What if they were successful? What, again, we just kind of, okay, it happened, we got past it, but what if they were successful? What if the vote wasn't certified?
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Right? That was their goal, right? Their goal was to make sure the vote wasn't certified.
Well, I agree with you. You know, luckily they were put down and they weren't successful. But I also wonder where's the outrage. And, you know, I think had this happened in the 1800s, there'd be much stronger punishments for these people, because sedition and what they try to do, basically have a coup d'etat, that's supposed to be punishable almost by death. And these people are getting slapped on the wrist, and that people are acting like it wasn't really a big deal.
Well, true. And again, going back to today's episode of Affirmative Distraction, that's part of the problem. Maybe we're so distracted. When I say we, society as a whole, that we don't know what's important and what's not, right? And the Supreme Court, and again, there are experts who study this much more than us, people are really calling them out that there's a lot of ethical violations. I mean, literally you have Supreme Court justices hanging out with billionaires and making decisions at the same time, right? So there's just so much questions, but I think overall we have so much faith in institutions, right? The Supreme Court is the Supreme Court. It's the law of the land and all of these things, right? That are we actually paying attention? Like, is the Supreme Court really functioning as the Supreme Court? Is the Constitution really being followed and so on and so forth? And that's why I said it's really a scary time, because if it's not, what does that mean, right? We're being distracted from what?
Yeah, we are being distracted so that, you know, they can put into place these plans and these diabolical wishes they want to have fulfilled. And if we're not, you know, we're taking our eyes off what they're really doing, you know, it's going to make it a lot easier for them to be successful.
Agreed. Well, I don't know how listeners feel about this episode or the topic. It was a very broad one. I mean, on one hand, you could say that the Supreme Court decision was, you know, just a very straightforward look at access to higher education and the proper processes to be in place. But it does seem to me, and I'm sure to other people, that it's almost a integrated effort to change the structure or maintain the structure. That's probably a better way of looking at it. They're trying to maintain the structure. And I feel like there's a distraction going on where, like you said, it's not about letting people into school that can't read. That's not what it's about. It's about making sure that we have a diverse student body, a diverse professional and working force, and basically integrated society of diverse people. And I think there is an effort to derail that. And I think it's an obvious effort now. I think it's just something where how many of us want to pay attention, but I don't think it's a secret right now. It seems that equity is being pushed back.
Oh, it's true. And, you know, it's like they're trying to pull the wool over your eyes. They'll tell you what you're seeing is not really what you're seeing.
Exactly. And hence the word distraction. So I hope for our listeners, they will say, okay, I get where they went with this one, because there is an effort, like you said, to pull the wool over people's eyes and to keep them distracted, and people need to be very aware and undistracted, focused. So do you have a call to action, Big Roof, for our listeners for tonight's episode of Affirmative Distraction?
My call to action would be, one, make sure you do your civic duty, make sure you vote, and I would say try to keep in mind of the long game, because again, the reason why this was able to pass and they were able to overturn affirmative action and other things they're trying to overturn is because they're playing the long game. They've been trying to put people in office who have certain beliefs, and they're able to think 30, 40 years out to try to get enough people on the court that would be able to do these things. And I think we as, not saying just minorities, but most regular people are not thinking diabolically. We're just thinking as everybody wants the best for the country, and everybody's thinking is on the same playing field. I think there are some people that are trying to manipulate the system to, you know, change the course of history. And we have to keep that in mind when we're going to vote and, you know, try to, you know, keep ourselves abreast of the news that's going on out there and just be in the know. You can't just watch movies and be on social media and not pay attention to what's going on.
Well said, well said. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I really do. And not much I can add to that other than I think my call to action for our listeners tonight is to actually to do, right? Not to look for other people to do, because I think there's this notion that someone else is going to take care of the problems that we face. And I think we have to have a reality moment where we're the ones that have to take care of it, right? You, me, our listeners, we have to say, wait a minute, okay, like you said, how do we play the long game? How do we vest? And I don't like to think diabolical, because I'm not a diabolical person, but I will say I'm a strategic person, and we need to think strategically. You're right. I think there are people that are being diabolical, and that's their strategy. So we have to have our own strategy. And when I say we, I'm saying people that believe in the betterment of society, the greater good, right? Because I do think that those who are out there, maybe I'm naive, maybe everyone is bad and there is no good in the world. I don't believe that. I believe the bad people strategically, diabolically force their way into society and the things they want done. And I guess my call to action for our listeners is, how do good people strategically do the same thing? Like, get their views and their ideas of the world into action. So that's my call to action tonight.
No, well said.
Well, same. So I definitely hope our listeners take heed of this and really figure out what we collectively and individually can do and need to do, because you know, I think we are a bit too distracted, and our world is changing, our society is changing right in front of our eyes. And I think we have to really start doing things to stop it, right? Not watching, not ignoring, but stopping, because, you know, we're distracted. And again, the question is, why?
That is true.
Yes, it is. So, again, tonight's episode of Affirmative Distraction. I am Sean P.
I'm Big Roop.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.